Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer once again is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. On this episode of FEA Today, we want to take the time to consider a popular phrase from Scripture that was used by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he described himself as all things to all men. This is a very popular concept today, and we hear this phrase quoted rather often. It's a slogan or a purpose statement of many ministries or programs today, and a lot of people tend to think that when the Apostle Paul said that he became all things to all men, what he meant was that the end justifies the means. We could use any method, we could use any means or any program to advance the cause of Jesus Christ if it is accepted by the world around us, and at times we can even compromise our beliefs or our behavior because the Apostle Paul said that he became all things to all men. We want to take some time with the moments we have in this episode to understand that the context reveals really the misuse and misapplication of this text by many people, and we need to make sure to get this right. What did the Apostle Paul mean when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that he became all things to all men? Well, we need to back up, first of all, to chapter 8 and understand that what the Apostle Paul is saying is that love should be the basis of all that we do, all that we think, and all we say as we interact with others. And in fact, back in chapter 8 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul made it clear that at sometimes believers, Christians, must sacrifice some of their liberties in order to refrain from offending a weaker brother or sister in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul writes, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." So Paul is really emphasizing here love, agape, toward brothers and sisters in Christ. That needs to be the basis of our actions and our attitudes toward others. If we even backed up to verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died." You see, if a man defiles his conscience, it is sin. We read this as well in Romans chapter 14. If you were to look at verses 13 to 15 and verses 19 to 21. The point we have to make from this is that the knowledgeable believer must not lead the weaker brother or sister to go against their conscience. And again, here the motivation is love. Love, Paul lays this out in chapter 8, love should be the basis of all we do, all we think, all we say as we interact with others. So then the Apostle Paul goes on in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians in the first 14 verses. He goes on to apply this to his own life and his own example. He mentions that he surrendered some of his rights, even as an apostle of Jesus Christ, because of his love for those to whom he was ministering. The Apostle Paul had every right to be fully supported by the church at Corinth. As an apostle, he had that right. He mentions that he had every right to raise a family like the other apostles. Paul mentions that he had every right to refrain from any kind of secular employment, but he chose not to. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 makes it clear that Paul had every right to demand financial payment for all of his spiritual counsel. He writes in 1 Corinthians 9:11, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things," that's what the Apostle Paul had sown unto them as he was declaring the word of God, as he was evangelizing, as he was discipling believers. "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?" But we find the Apostle Paul surrendering some of his rights as an apostle. Why did he do this? Well, verse 12 tells us that he did this to prove, first of all, he was not working for financial remuneration. He says, "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Out of love, Paul surrendering some of his rights as an apostle to prove he wasn't working for financial remuneration. He did this as well to provide an example of selflessness and Christian humility. We won't take the time to turn there, but if you noticed 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul is talking to the believers in the church at Thessalonica, and here we find he worked with his own hands so that the Thessalonian believers would not be burdened by his financial needs. Surrendering some of these rights that he had as an apostle, but because of love and because of the fact that he did not want to hinder the gospel of Christ, he forfeited some of those rights. Although Paul was sacrificing his apostolic rights for the benefits of the believers, of course, as we saw at Thessalonica, but also at Corinth in our text, his actions also had an impact on the unbelievers' response to the gospel. We have to understand that this is what Paul means when he says, but suffer all things, verse 12, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You see, Paul didn't act one way around believers and another way around unbelievers. He was a consistent example of what it was to be a follower of Jesus Christ as he faithfully declared the word of truth. So he lays out to the believers in Corinth and to us today in chapter 8 that love should be the basis of all we do. All we think, all that we say as we interact with others. We don't want to be a stumbling block. We don't want to lead the weaker brother or sister to go against their conscience. On a personal level, Paul surrendered some of his rights that he had as an apostle, and he spells that out in verses 1 to 14. But in the next several verses, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 15 down through verse 18, we find that Paul kept the gospel, the good news of the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He kept the gospel as the center of his method and his message. Verse 15, Paul says, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Notice how the gospel is the center of all of his life and ministry. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Notice what these verses are saying. Whether he felt like it or not, necessity was laid upon Paul to preach the gospel, he mentions in verse 16. You see, the gospel is God's message. It's not our own. And we are only stewards of that message. That's what verse 17 tells us. This implies that the message of the gospel must be correct and it must be accurate. It also implies that the message of the gospel must be the center of attention, the gospel. In all our evangelism efforts and in all our exposition of God's word, the gospel and its consequences and implications should be the central focus. So then we get to the point in beginning of verse 19 down to verse 23. We find that Paul also surrendered some of his rights as a Christian, keeping in mind love is his motivation. Keeping in mind he surrendered some of his rights as an apostle. Keeping in mind, he kept the gospel at the center of his method and his message. We begin reading in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do, here it is, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Notice what this is saying here with the context of chapter 8 and chapter 9. Paul gave up, notice this, he gave up his rights as it became necessary in order to proclaim the gospel to the lost. Paul never gave himself additional rights to act like the world or to partake of the pleasures of the world or to put on the thinking and the mindset of the world for the sake of the gospel. In fact, we know from Scripture the Bible continually commands holiness of the believer. We are to be holy even as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is holy. In Romans chapter 12, Paul makes it very clear where he writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we find Paul, because of love for the people to whom he was ministering, believer and unbeliever alike, we find Paul giving up his rights, not only as an apostle, but even surrendering some of his rights as a Christian at times, giving up rights as it became necessary in order to proclaim the gospel. He wasn't acting like the world. He wasn't taking on the behavior and the thought of the beliefs of an unregenerate world or generation. He gave up rights as it became necessary. He did not compromise his fidelity to God and his word in order to win the Gentiles. Verse 21 makes this so clear. Paul says he was not without law. He was not without law. To them that are without law, as without law, but he adds, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. You see, the Apostle Paul was sensitive to the culture. He was sensitive to the community of those to whom he ministered. And he even forsook his Christian liberties in order to more clearly and effectively communicate the gospel. So from this, we understand that biblical evangelism and biblical ministry involves three primary points. Number one, being a servant to the saved and even sacrificing at times. This was a perfect picture of the Apostle Paul. He was a servant to those to whom he ministered, the believers in Corinth, the believers in Thessalonica, the churches that were throughout the region at the time. He was a servant. He even sacrificed at times some of his rights in order to not be a stumbling block or an offense to the gospel. Number one, biblical evangelism and ministry involves being a servant to the saved and sacrificing. Number two, it involves keeping the gospel message as the center of our method and making sure that message is accurate. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and the only way man can have relationship with God is through faith alone in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Paul did everything he could to make that true, accurate message the center of his ministry. He did not compromise. And concerning the lost, number three, biblical evangelism and ministry involves being a servant to them. Sensitive to their needs. We don't want to unnecessarily offend, but we are certainly not going to begin to live and act and think in a manner of the lost world in order to win them to Christ. That's not what Paul means when he says, "I am made all things," or "I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Love for fellow brethren, love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for the lost, those who don't know Jesus Christ, and most importantly, fidelity to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the key to ministry and evangelism. It was exemplified by the Apostle Paul, and it was enunciated in this text by the Apostle Paul. May we take this truth and live this out in our own lives and ministries day by day. I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and may the Lord bless you until next time.